Yeah. All right, shall we start with a song then?
So
is everyone
just sing your part, right?
No. Oh, freedom!
Freedom!
Save time for camaraderie and socializing and food that we've all brought. So I'm going to start with just some welcome and thank yous. Then Sudi and Steve are going to give a quick financial update on the group. Nat's going to talk a little bit about what we're doing in the upcoming year. And then I'm going to do a quick update on the board and its activities. And then we're going to have a few minutes for an open forum for any of you that have things you want to say or comments. And then we'll close with one more song and head back to have some food. So we had a great season this past year. We had four programs. Two of them were collaborations with other groups, our typical VSO Christmas sets, and then another one with the Monteverdi ensemble that Steve runs. So those were both really great. And then we also did some self-presented sets last fall. We had a self-presented Sceptred Isle concert that many of you sang in. It was a great great set, and we came out of that with a recording that Annie, where did Annie go? Annie did a lot of work to get that done. It was really fun set. And then this summer, did some good old summertime stuff, sang some De Cormier favorites, and had a great time. So after such a year, there's some thank yous that I think are important to say. First, just to the singers. You know, we don't make, the music doesn't happen without you. And Robert Cormier founded this group in part to support singers and give them people, especially that have training and a skill in singing, to support them and give them opportunities to be paid for their skill. And so we've tried as a board to continue in that work and support you all. And so just want to thank you all for being a part of Counterpoint, for singing with us, giving us an opportunity to serve you, for delighting our audiences with the wonderful music that you make. So thank you very much. And of course, want to say thank you to all the people that make it possible for us to sing in these concerts. First and foremost, to Nat, who works tirelessly for this group. Yeah, we should all give a round of applause. For the past 18 months, the board has supported Nat in running the group, but he still runs the show. And we are happy to support him, but thankful so much for all that you do, Nat, and really glad that you are part of this group and do such amazing leadership for us. So thank you very much. And then to other members of the board, to Sudi, not only for hosting today, but for working to revitalize our fundraising program. Let's get that started. Thank you very much, Sudi. To Steve for his running the books, not only over the past 18 months, but previous to that. Thank you very much, Steve. And to Vicky for, as our secretary, taking notes and helping with the marketing and especially helping us get reduce our CD inventory. We really appreciate it. Yeah, no, it's great. Absolutely. Miranda isn't here, but has also been serving on the board and has helped organize volunteers for the Sceptred Isle set. So we really appreciate her work. And then adjuncts to the board, Annie has helped out. Melissa has helped out with the donation software. Linda and other people. So much thanks to all those and all of you who have helped in ways big and small. So thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sudi and Steve to talk a little bit about the finances group.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you.
I'll just speak very briefly. We have a reasonably healthy bank balance at this point, about $31,000, which is, for a number of years we were hovering around 30, and then it took a dip a couple of years ago because we had a couple of very expensive concerts, but it sort of returned back to that level, partly because the board had a goal of not losing vast amount of money, and and we've been successful not losing vast amount of money. There's also been a couple of very generous board members who are in this room who have given thousands of dollars. That's helped tremendously, and other fundraising.
Okay, you know, the grants.
And the grants too.
Yep.
So I mean, historically, Robert had his large crew of donors from New York and others who gave money, and some of them still do, but it's largely transitioned from that to Nat's family members and
progress.
And some new people. So we are thankful for that. The model we're currently working under seems to be functioning thanks to ongoing efforts for grants and fundraising. If there are any questions, I can answer those, but we're in a reasonably good position.
Sudie, did you want to say anything about
yes,
Grant?
Of course.
Awesome. Oh, excellent.
I do. I gave myself a cheat sheet. First of all, thank you to Steve, mm-hmm. because he keeps a very tight, close rein on the numbers, which is something that very few people know how to do, and has, as he said, done for years, which means that we are still in good odor, as the phrase goes, with the IRS. that is more important than most of you know. And I want to thank Matt, who has been absolutely wonderful to work with, and the whole rest of the board. I've served on quite a number of nonprofit boards in my many years, and we have a wonderful board. Everybody pitches in, everybody works hard. Everybody's wonderful to work with. So I want to thank the board. And just do a quick update on the fundraising, last year fundraising, this year. Last year we got, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the ballpark of about $8,000 in individual donations, which is extraordinary for a group of this size, on, you know, coming out of a period of a couple of years of not really active fundraising at all. Everybody pitched in to make that happen. We had people stuffing envelopes. We had people sifting through mailing lists. We had people forwarding emails and boosting Facebook pages. Every single day. And we need to do it this year.
The future is a room.
You know, I wondered how I was going to get this forward, Dusty.
Everybody pitches in.
We have, I'm very, very happy to report that we have been awarded some significant grants. We received a $2,000 grant from Coral Arts in England. We received a $5,600 grant over 2 years from the Vermont Community Foundation Concert Artists Fund. We've just been notified that we've received a $3,000 grant from the Vermont Arts Council Arts Project Fund. So that's a total of $7,800 towards, all of these are towards our spring concert. And they don't even cover the expenses of that concert, because we are trying to make the spring concert free, no ticket charges, not even asking donations at the door, because we're doing these concerts in public places like public libraries and nursing homes, retirement communities, where we cannot ask for money. So we had to get grant funding. I'm very pleased to say that we've gotten most of what we need.
How far are we from the goal? Is that something you care?
It kind of depends on how much we decide to spend.
Okay, so on the high end, like if we spent the high end, how close are we or far?
We would need another $3,000 or $4,000.
Oh, okay.
And I have actually, I'm about to press the send button on another grant application to cover that. Who knows?
Yeah. Are you writing all these grants?
Yes.
So Sudie is saying,
I break out in hives just at the word grant.
Nessa needs a moment.
Don't think I don't.
No!
But I've gotten a lot of help, especially from Matt, who has been right there with me, you know, planning and writing language and reviewing past grants, and he's been fantastic. So, as you know, all of these funds mainly go towards paying our singers. This is the huge lion's share of our budget, as I believe it should be. And so we need, as I said, to do this all again, and we need everybody to pitch in. And that's one reason why we invited you all here today, not to ask you for money. That's not the goal. But, although we missed the check, great. But to hopefully get everybody involved in what makes this group run, because it doesn't run without every single one of you. So thank you all.
So, what kinds of things are you wanting us to do? How can we help?
Let's talk. Mainly, suggesting people to serve on the board, suggesting people who might wish to come to our concerts or might wish to be on our fundraising list, so that we bolster our mailing list, helping those mailings go out, helping to draft those mailings, design work, all of the grunt work that goes into sending out a paper letter mailing, etc.
I have one addition to that.
Please do.
Anyone who feels motivated, who's that person you could call and say, something really matters to me? Do you have $20, $100, $500, $1,000, $3,000 to help us do this free concert? It could drastically change our, like, do you have that person in your life that cares about you, cares about the things that you care about, even if they don't care about it, like you do, but would be willing to drop that $20 check to Counterpoint in the mail? Or so that's the thing you can do. So you're driving home, the minute you get the service, you call your father, you call your sister who has sold some property, whoever. That's something you could do right now.
Just don't call our family.
Yes, not Matt and Jason, but I would say that's the easiest thing.
They were named as a
we call them the thank yous or something.
I'll actually add one more thing, which is that you come from a lot of different places and have different backgrounds. If you become aware of institutional funding sources of any kind, like I'm pretty solid, those of us who are Stephen, people who've been in the state for a long time, we kind of know there are two grantors in the state of Vermont, basically. There's the Vermont Arts Council and there's the Vermont Community Foundation. And but there are other things out there. We lean into New York a little bit, definitely lean into New Hampshire a little bit. There are also private foundations. If you become aware of potential grantors, even if it seems a little bit far-fetched, send it up to Sudi, because sometimes
the organizer at least.
And then we will talk and we'll put it together with the board. Because sometimes there's a weird grant, there are calls for something. Like the specific grant we got for this thing I'm about to talk about in the spring was because the Vermont Community Foundation had a social cohesion fund. And I'm like, bingo, that's the fund we can get to grant this musical performance.
Because the libraries and the
because
nursing
the
homes.
Because the libraries and the nursing homes. But you may not know that piece of it, but like, oh, I wonder if there's anything there. Send it up. Because, we've never gotten the social cohesion fund money grant before, but we did this year.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't.
I'm so sorry. That's the one we didn't get.
Okay, that's the one we didn't get. But it was a good idea. But it was a good idea, nonetheless. It was the right kind of thing. But the thinking was right.
Sydney's like, shh.
The point remains that there are, you may come across, you may know of grantors, private foundations, things the Boston Foundation, all donor advised funds, anything like that. That's how the game is played.
Yes, thank you.
Can I ask where they're going to be performing in the spring?
Yeah, I'm about to go through that. Yeah, yes, because you'll be very happy. very, very, very. So we'll talk through the season. Our first set, as many of you know, the Eleva Chamber Players, which is a professional string orchestra that performs in the Mad River Valley. Willie Docto runs it. They approached me a year and a bit ago with a plan to do something together, and that has turned into this performance of the Ola Yalo Sunrise Mass. So it's a work for string orchestra and chorus. The performance is November 8th and 9th or 7th and 8th or something like that. It's a weekend. One is in Waterbury and one is in Waitsfield. I think I said that right. So that's all, the personnel is all set to go. The scores are winging their way to me, those of you who are seeing it. I have six pages of breaths. You're going to have to write your scores. It took me so long to type those in. A here, corner here. Yalo is a very, very popular, very well-respected, wonderful Norwegian-American composer. He just seems to write only for 200-voice choruses that don't have two breaths together. So I had to retrofit this work for chamber choruses. It's going to be great, though. The spaces are wonderful. The orchestra's really good. So that's November, and then we have no week off, and then we jump right into Christmas. Christmas is the usual set. There's only four concerts this year. Whatever it is, it's Warren, Newport, Grafton, and Manchester. We're not live on VPR this year, having done 2 years in a row. They go with something else, which is fine. It makes our lives a little easier that day. I did send a recruiting email out to just altos and tenors because we have a core group, as many of you know, this year. Thank you to the board for convincing me that was a good idea, because it was a great idea. And the Christmas concert is limited to 12 singers. That's all VSO will pay for, so it's three and a part. We already have three sopranos and three basses in the core, so I'm being very, so I'm making that work out. Those, that's the usual thing, it's the, whatever it is, the third week in December. Some highlights of that, we got some feedback last year that the repertory had gotten a little bit highbrow for some of the tastes of the audiences. And I recognize that because we had a pandemic, and then I had a lot of, backlog of really cool, weird Nat shit. My choral director in England was named Jeffrey Weber, and he was a mid-Baroque specialist. So he did a lot of stuff in mid-Baroque, and finally some brilliant person said, "Oh, Jeffrey and all his shite." And it was the best line ever, because it was exactly, yes, in fact, it was a lot of shite. Both means the term. So I got the feedback, and so I made the program quite delightful, but quite mainstream. So it's interesting arrangements of familiar songs, like those of the old timers, like the Malcolm Sargent Silent Night. With the weird line about Jesus having blonde hair. Do you have a question? Oh, you were just
I know the piece.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just like, Jesus did not have blonde hair, Malcolm. So that's Christmas. And then the exciting thing is this program that Sudi mentioned. So this is a program called Active Remembrance. And it's a program of music from a variety of cultures, classically composed music from a variety of cultures, not folk music, about approaches to death. Not necessarily commemorative pieces, not necessarily all pieces that are commemorating loss, but sometimes addressing the concept of death itself. So we have two of Holst's Rig Veda hymns, Mendelssohn's setting of one of the choral odes from Oedipus at Colonus, the one that's addressed to Hades. And then a bunch of other interesting pieces, a beautiful setting of the Stevenson poem Requiem, and then a set of songs, of choral songs, that my friend Brian Banks wrote during the pandemic called Plague Songs, setting a variety of poets, including Dickinson and other things like that. It's a really interesting program. The idea is to do it, it's not a lot of music, although it's hard, and then to do it alternating with spoken poetry. And depending on the venues, maybe even reading out. The whole thing is to consider the pandemic 6 years after the pandemic hit. So the concerts are in April, which is also National Poetry Month, or is this year. And the idea is to have local poets in the venues read poems between the pieces of music of their own choosing. So who are folks we're doing this with, collaborators, three public libraries, the Manchester Library, Paige Vignola, who's my new best friend. Do you know Paige?
I don't.
She's the assistant director of the Manchester Public Library, and she's fantastic. And we're doing the Fletcher Free Library in Burlington, and we're doing the Norman Williams, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The library in Woodstock. So hitting three corners. And then one performance at Wake Robin, and one performance at Kendall in Hanover. So those are the five, and that is an open call, because the more singers, the merrier. This program, I'll say a word about it, I'm talking too much, but this program is a program that, as so many of my programs, that has built up over many years in the back of my brain, and it started from the position of just being like, I love all the Requiems, but I'm so sick that every time anything bad happens in the world, all we ever do is sing Christian music. And 8 out of the 10 are Roman Catholic, and the other two are the Brahms and, you know, something, whatever, the Howls. So I started making a list of pieces that fell into that category, that they were called the Alternatives Requiem Project, and that literally 20 years ago. And then this is a subset of that that sort of that came along. I think it's been really, really wonderful and interesting. And Brian's piece, Brian is a friend of mine from graduate school who married a Mexican and moved to Puebla and has been teaching at Universidad de las Americas in Puebla for 30 years. So he's an American Mexican. And he's a fantastic choral composer and I've wanted to do his music forever. So just anyway, this is his pandemic set. It's very moving. And those performances are all in April around the usual counterpoint thing. We don't have any plans beyond that for the summer. But I will say, because I usually at this point in September kind of have 18 months of ideas in place, I don't right now for various complicated reasons. So this is a call to all of you to make program or specific repertory suggestions. I will not say yes, but I won't say no right away. And like the Sceptred Isle program just came out of a meeting where people said, we should just, everyone loves the English choral repertory, let's just do that. I'm like, let's go for it. And it was amazing concept. And the program just fell together in this extraordinary way where everything like had this structure that was not my doing. So please send me ideas for programs or pieces that you think counterpoint should do. My difficulty is the patchwork. I can't do the six things people recommend if they don't make sense to me as a program, but you know. And I have some ideas, but you know, a cappella is where we're at financially right now most of the time. The program in April will have a pianist. Allison Cerruti signed up this morning. So that's fantastic because Allison's one of those people like, yes. Amazing. But some of those performances will have to be with electric keyboard, of course.
Oh.
Because because Kendall and Wake Robin have pianos, but I don't know if the Manchester...
No, they have a keyboard.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is.
I have a question about Christmas, Matt.
Yeah.
So, I scanned the repertory, and there's not an RDC piece
on
the
program. It may not be an RDC at all. That may be, actually. Maybe I should go back. Yeah.
Is it too late to put one in? I ask that because people will notice, especially at Christmas time,
right.
And if we want to nurture the past donors,
That's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just that we've run through the standard ones. I need to look at some of the more.
Maybe the
ones.
The dingy thingy one.
Sorry, I have the dingy thingy in my basement. Okay. It's a CD, right? We also use that in the Mexican. It's not RDC, but it's the Mexican. I also use the dingy thing. That's a good point. Yeah, I actually did not notice that. I was like piecing together. Christmas is a crazy process.
Thank you, Melissa, for keeping us mindful of our notes.
That's a, yeah.
Right, so I missed what you said. What was the piece that you were suggesting?
It was the Virgin Mary had a baby boy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's probably some less often done ones.
I have the record of every piece we've ever done on that set. For 17 or 18 years, so I can go back and look.
Just since you're asking, rather than having it go into a single email, I want other ears to hear it, is I bug you fairly frequently about the first concert I did with this ensemble was the Vermont composers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying to do more of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I should mention that part in April, one of the pieces on the program will be a new commission by Don Jameson.
Good.
And I placed the commission for this concert specifically with Don. And I had my reasons, and then I emailed Don and said, "Dear Don, we've got this grant. We'd like you to write a piece for us. And this the situation is we're doing a commemorative concert about COVID and about thinking about loss and things like that." And he emailed back and said, "I bet you chose me because I have a rather like dark and bleak view of the world." I'm like, "You're Jason knows Don really well." And I'm like, "Now that you said it, yes, of course I chose you for this because he chooses the most extraordinary poets, and he has a sort of a tragic view of the world, but I think it's going to make a beautiful piece. You know, so he's going to be, whatever it is, it's going to be great. He said it's done, but he's doing the entry right, it's a ballet entry right now.
I agree, though, a whole concert of Vermont composers, those are easy to get, it's easy to get the fundraise, like, whatever, people get more.
Yeah. I mean, audiences less so,
yeah.
Funders more so.
Well, that's where we make the money.
Right.
The tickets aren't where the cash cow is, so.
Absolutely, yeah.
That was the other question that I had, was how audiences have been this past year. Mostly good, mixed. You know, some locations, some dates, not so much. But nothing embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And some have been packed to the rafters. So I would say generally good.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, I mean, the way finances of concerts work, as you all know, is I much prefer doing presented to self-presented concerts because they make money. I mean, those of us who went down to New York went down to Bolton Landing for that concert. They sold, every seat was taken.
Mm-hmm.
They paid us a big hefty fee. Everyone was happy. The weather was horrible, but and we did not have to sell any seats.
Yeah.
Right. The whole summer set, with the exception of one, in Lebanon, was presented, which meant that we were sure we would come through. And the numbers were very close to break even, which is what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a little bit scary other times.
Yeah.
If we did an all Vermont composers and we self-presented, we would lose numbers of thousands of dollars.
When we did the Scepter Dial, and we were self-presented for all of those concerts, and I think we really beat the bushes. It took a lot of work, and we got good audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. But it does take a lot of work.
And we on the board, we talk about how we do want to be able to do self-presented, and that's part of the reason why we have the savings we do, so we can lose some money doing some self-presented stuff.
True.
But if we had more, Sudie said it, people on the board means more feet on the ground working instead of just showing up and singing, which is drastically important, but if the board doesn't have the people willing to do grants and finances and running meetings, then we can't make this happen. So if you're even mildly interested in that, it helps us do more self-presented things so we can take the financial hit, everybody gets paid well, those kind of things.
Well, yes, I mean, I think there are two very important things that bring in audiences, and one is what Vicky's talking about, the legwork that we do to get the word out and get people to come. The other thing is the quality of our product. And we need to pay attention to that too.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt is doing a fantastic job. I think, we have wonderful, wonderful singers that work very hard, but we want to make sure that we nurture that and don't lose sight of that as well.
So, you were talking about your first concert. My first concert, which was very fortunate, was All Mixed Up in Seeger.
Right.
And I haven't forgotten because it was my first time. We did an album, and we have a lot of, I don't know how many CDs we have still. Maybe you have been selling them, but.
Those sell pretty well.
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And if you have a digital download for that too, people can go get it.
So, but I would love to do that again. And the reason is that Weston often talk about that concert because we could have sold that twice.
How long ago?
They were outside the church, listening through the windows. So that was a very, very
popular
one.
That was 2017.
Yeah, so it makes you think.
16.
Oh, I was going to say 17 would be great because you could do a 10-year reunion tour.
15, 16,
but Could we say we're 17 and do a 10-year reunion in 27?
He died, but the concert.
It was 15.
It was 2015.
The 12-year anniversary. That's kind of the neat idea, bringing up something that did really well,
mm-hmm.
and people resonate. It's been a long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing.
Yeah,
college.
Absolutely.
And it needs three instrumentalists.
If you're going to do the fall, if you're going to do the fall.
And we have the CDs!
Right.
Yes, exactly.
CDs, yeah.
And I have an arrangement in that concert.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's right. That's right.
I know.
Yeah, this is exciting.
That could be your
song. We can call it Still Mixed Up.
More needed than ever.
Right. Oh.
And I will say, as a performer in that set, it felt backwards to other groups. And it's like, you do a recording, normally you have the recording, then you go out and watch your recording performances.
Yes.
We did all the performances, did the recording. I think we did one at the State House, then afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something to look at the dynamics of that. Like, we did that, and that was with another group, but it's the same thing. We made the CD. And then how do you then promote the work? And I get it. Like, by the time, some cases, like, Nat's tired of the music because you just spent months and months and months and months.
You actually have to get it good.
It's
all for the performance.
Right.
It's the performance.
You need
to get
it good.
To the level. Then, yeah.
So, but it is the balance of then saying, so do you ride the tails of that CD and things, or do you come back to that? Do you say, we want to go back to the Robert De Cormier classics? You know, there are songs I go back to when I first started, and Steve go back even before.
Yeah.
Going back to those chords and saying, look back, you know, and I get it. So, you know, now you've been in the group, it's hard to go back
but
and say,
this is a really good point. No, 100%. And I will say that I have sent this email in the past, but not necessarily to everyone in this room. If you go to the Counterpoint website, which you should do, and you go to the upcoming events and you click on that, there's another link there that says past events.
Mm-hmm.
That is a list of every single piece this ensemble has sung since 2012. Okay? Every single piece. And so go back and say, I want to do that again, and send me an email. Do it.
Yep.
Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Because the people who respond to those emails get their suggestions, you know, at the concerts.
Yeah.
Like, Brian, who's on the list of his 37 favorite pieces of English choral music, you know, got more than one in the program, right? But the person who didn't respond at all, and then came to the person like, oh, you know, I really like this piece, but, well,
where's your voice?
Yeah.
This is doesn't count.
So you go back and read that website and be like, oh my gosh, that's right. We such and such. You know? Some of you were just at the Upper Valley, you know, seeing the new Cafo, how it's pronounced,
summer
sing thing, and we were doing Mendelssohn Psalm 42. Well, some of you were, someone was a soloist in the Mendelssohn Psalm 42 years ago. I mean, you know, I love that piece, and that was like just, it was so great for me to bring it back. So definitely, bringing back things is always good. And, you know, if we do have CDs to sell, people will probably.
So we need to get those in writing.
Yeah.
They need to be in an email with him on it.
Right. It doesn't take that long to read through that website, but it is pretty impressive.
I have another organizational suggestion. I don't know if it would be more cumbersome for the board or helpful if instead of thinking of, for people considering getting more involved, rather than becoming a full-on board member, what about ad hoc committees to do, like,
We did have an ad hoc committee for fundraising, and I hope to get some people involved in that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is always possible. And speaking of the board...
So I just wanted to give a few updates on the board. The last 18 months, we've really been working on kind of taking the reins of the organization. Kind of before that, Nat was doing it with a little bit of help from Steve, and otherwise the board was quiescent. So we have, I think, stabilized things and kind of focused on making sure that we continue to pay singers and have the resources to do that. In the coming year, we want to start thinking about more about what does a sustainable group look like going forward. What do we want to spend money on? How much money do we need to be able to do that? And how can we bring in those resources? So, and to do that, we need people. Right now, we are kind of at a minimal level for the board, and everyone who's been on the board is continuing for another year. But if you are interested in participating either as a member of the board or as was suggested as kind of an adjunct, or you know of somebody who you think might be a good fit to the board, please let us know. All right, so that's. I think we kind of started doing a little bit of talking of kind of open forum. Are there any other
things people want to say. I'm cognizant of the time that we've been.
I have a very quick question. Just on the what you just said, how many are there non-singers currently on the board? How many?
We don't have any non-singers on the board.
Welcome, I'm sure.
Yes, so then
we would like to
find some people that are not singers.
So I think we need to have an election. We have to actually elect ourselves.
Yeah. Do we need to do it here, or do we do it?
This is the annual meeting.
Oh, this is the annual meeting.
How about just do it? Just do like a slate.
Slate of
offices. Slate
and
affirmation. Yeah, same.
How do you do that?
I have a quick one before that happens.
Yes.
Just person that had this thought is probably in the room. I have no idea who it is, but whoever proposed the shorter rehearsal cycle. It's great.
I'll take someone. I lost the word of the world. Yeah.
Like, I love getting to a first rehearsal where people just know their shit, and we do six rehearsals and the show is ready.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's professional.
Love it. Love that change. I can't.
As long as the showing up and prepared doesn't stop happening.
Yes.
And if that happens, we lose the right to have six rehearsals.
It's just so good.
Five.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming on four.
Yeah.
Sudhi mentioned it is keeping the caliber of the group at caliber. It is accountability. Speaking as a singer, it is accountability. I will say, my first semester or Christmas concert, Neil Cerruti and I both came at the same time. We were both terrified to come to this group because of the reputation that had us at the premier vocal ensemble in the state of Vermont. So we came basically off book, but other than like the Nawal piece, which we can't learn this because we don't know the language, but we basically came in like, we know this music inside and out at that rehearsal, and because we expected that everybody was coming in essentially knowing their music. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's been an ebb, and it's getting better again within the group of just being prepared. And I also get, as you have a bigger group, it's the accountability to show up at rehearsals, and illnesses happen, family things, we get it, but it is, you know, how can we help the board and help Nat making sure that we're all espousing to say we want this to be Vermont's premier ensemble. And I will say, there were a couple tryout singers this past year that were in, and both were like, well, it wasn't really the caliber I expected as a singer coming into the group. Mm-hmm. It was the feedback. I drove back with them, and that's what I heard. And I'm going like, well, I don't want that to be this group either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, Vicky hears me talk about this all the time. It's like, I really want this to be the ensemble that you can hang your hat on and say, that is the best ensemble or one of the best ensembles in the state, if not New England.
Yeah.
And to do that, it does mean we all need to say, yeah, this is important to us, and we want that musicality, and we really want to find that blend, if we can come and work with Nat on the important stuff, not just, oh, I got to go and hammer out notes as a section.
And we've discussed this on the board, how do you hold that accountability, but we never really locked it in. Mm-hmm. Like, if Vicky shows up and she's not prepared, what's the consequence? And we've discussed it, but haven't figured it out.
Nat's
going
to
Is it that Nat, you know, wields some...
I personally think it's the director going, this is not okay, and calling it out. If you're a professional, then you need to be a professional. And that's... okay.
Yeah, or there can be a board seat, which is a personnel director. So Nat can keep artistic, but the concept of a personnel director, which their job is to hold people accountable. If you're late for rehearsals, you're not prepared, Nat can say... As a director, you're not going to call somebody out in a rehearsal as an individual, because that isn't a good dynamic. But to say, you know, if Sudhi came and said, Neil, like, you weren't on mark for that piece and you need to do it. I mean, it is holding ourselves accountable as much as how can the board also do that? So Nat doesn't, you know, he can focus on the artistry, not the personal headaches of it. So
that's another idea.
And we can't do a Vermont Composers Program without that.
That's true.
Hard.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie, what was the next?
Okay,
what
so I think
voting?
What we're electing a slate of board members for the coming year, and that slate would be myself as the board chair, Sudhi as vice chair, Vicky as secretary, Steve as the treasurer, and Miranda as the at-large member. So I'll take a motion to elect that.
What if you would say?
So moved.
So
I make a motion that the slate is stated be approved.
We have a motion, and I'll second. Thank you, Brian. And all in favor, say aye.
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 Thank
Amen.
You.
Right.
Sounds unanimous.
Mark, are there any opposed?
Any opposed?
I always want to do the cartoon.
Nick wants to be on the slate. We got a volunteer. Thank you.
Hey, you raised your hand. We didn't make you do anything. That's
right. All right. And I think we're going to close with one more song. Thank you all for coming.
I don't have any.
Where is it?
It's coming around.
Let's collect our freedom this way. If you have a copy of all freedom, I'll take those over here. Save Sudi for having hundreds of copies she's finding in a week.
I suggest we could do a little bit for the police. When that said, we're going to be down here.
You wouldn't be dying. Yeah.
A 20-minute few we can do.
You're all over here. This is just a person.
No,
thank you.
How many people know this?
It's
a small number. Okay, we'll take it slow.
A while.
This is David. David, many of us know David. One, two, three.
Put it down.